Hi, Steve Pomerantz here, host of On the Money with today's On the Money Extra, where we feature market updates and insights as well as guest interviews with noted financial experts to help you stay informed and learn the facts to make the right decisions about money. So let's get started. 2015 is almost drawing to a close, with the S&P up just about 1% or so year to date. It hasn't been such a good year for stocks. Also include a fair amount of volatility and a sharp drop in mid-August that sent markets reeling. But thankfully, markets recovered and were up a very solid 8.3% for the month of October alone. But as one of my guests, Sam Stovall, Managing Director of U.S. Equity Strategy at S&P Capital IQ, reminded me just last week, after a strong rally in October, don't expect more than a modest gain in November and December, statistically speaking at least. Of course, no one knows for sure. Now, also, with presidential elections due November of 2016, you'll be happy to know that since World War II, the S&P 500 has been up 6% on average in each election year. So with some luck, 2016 should look good for stocks. And as the saying goes, as goes January, so goes the rest of the year. So all eyes will be on how the markets perform in January of 2016. But without relying too much on the vagaries of the market, Bloomberg's Suzanne Woolley has highlighted 5 year-end financial moves that we can all make to improve our finances and increase our odds of our portfolio doing well in 2016. So here's the first one. Number one is check your mix. You know, as I stated before, 2015's been a pretty volatile year for the markets, and this volatility could have messed up your portfolio mix. So before the year ends, I want you to take a careful look at your portfolio or your 401k investments and anything else that you might have in the market and see if they're aligned with your long-term investment goals. I want you to look carefully at your target date funds, especially if you have any, and these are the funds that automatically rebalance your holdings between different asset classes as you get closer to your retirement date. And check to see if they're in need of any tweaking or even changing. You know, I'm surprised by how many people just don't know how their target funds are invested and what they will likely deliver as they approach retirement. So I found a couple of examples. T. Rowe Price's 2025 retirement fund has 71% invested in equities, and another fund, the Wells Fargo Advantage DJ 2025 fund, has only 49% invested in equities. Both of them redeem in 10 years, and that's a big discrepancy. So that's going to be important going forward, and it's going to have a lot of effect on your future rate of return. So the point is to simply know what you own, be comfortable with it, and adjust your holdings, and don't give in to panic if there's a big market drop, even if you feel that it will crimp the growth of your retirement assets. Remember that these things are cyclical. All right, here's another tip for the year end. Lower your taxable income. So now's the time to complete all your tax deductible items. So if you're inclined to philanthropy, now is a good time to complete your charitable givings, which must be done by December 31st. And make sure you keep your receipts just in case you're audited. And if you have kids and live in a state that allows tax credits or deductions for a 529 contribution, be sure to contribute by year end. I believe 34 states and the District of Columbia offer full or partial deductions. And you should also consider donating or gifting appreciated assets such as stocks, real estate, and mutual funds to avoid paying hefty capital gains taxes. For example, let's say you want to donate $20,000 to your alma mater. And say you've just happened to own a mutual fund for many years that has a $20,000 capital gain. Well, one option would be to sell the fund and pay the taxes on the $20,000 in capital gains and then dip into your other accounts to give the full $20,000. Alternately, though, without selling anything, you could simply donate your $20,000 of mutual fund holdings directly to your college. This way, you get the write-off for the full $20,000 as a charitable deduction, and you avoid paying taxes on the $20,000 capital gain. It's pretty smart, right? And it's a very tax-efficient way to give. Also, you want to optimize your health benefits before year-end, and I'm sure many of my listeners have those use-it-or-lose-it flexible spending accounts for healthcare expenses. That's the ones where you contribute pre-tax money to your account, but you have to use the funds for qualified medical reasons or expenses by December 31st. So now it's time to look around and start the parade to visit your doctors, your opticians, and your dentists to get that money spent. And maybe in the future, if this is available to you through your employer, consider starting an HSA account. That's a health savings account. You get the same tax deduction, but you're allowed to continue to roll over whatever the balance is every single year. And so you can save taxes by getting the deduction, but also if you use the funds in the future for medical purposes, it comes out tax-free. Do the limits if you can. The 2015 limits, $3,350 for individuals and $6,750 for a family. All right, here's another one. Read up on Roth IRAs. I also want you to be reasonably familiar with the benefits of a Roth IRA. Now, a Roth is different from a regular IRA in that you're investing after-tax money towards retirement, but a great benefit is that you pay no future taxes on capital gains. So that's why I want you to read up on this type of Roth IRA. And if the market drops, as it did, let's say, in 2007, and sends the value of your traditional IRA and associated those capital gains way down, that may be a good time to consider converting your IRA into a Roth, pay the taxes on the lower amount, get that money transferred over, and when the market eventually rebounds, those gains now will be tax-free. That's a pretty smart idea, don't you think? And finally, prepare to file your taxes early next year. One of the reasons that you would never think of to do this is to protect yourself from scam artists who steal your identity and claim your tax refund directly from the IRS. That's a matter that has recently become a major concern. So if you're expecting a tax refund, the best way to stop a scammer from getting your refund is to file as early as possible. That way, you may beat a potential fraudster to the punch. You know, I can't really believe I have to warn you about this. It makes me sad, but it is the world we live in. Now, the earliest you can file is January 25th, 2016 for most people. But ideally, you should only withhold enough money from your income so you don't overpay your taxes, and that way the IRS isn't holding onto your money, and scam artists can't scam you to get the refund. You should take that extra money and save it yourself and earn a better return on it if you possibly can. So to summarize, check your portfolio mix. Make sure it's aligned with your retirement dates and needs. Take advantage of ways to reduce your taxes, such as donations, investments in your 529 plan. Also, consider investing in health savings accounts where your money can grow tax-free. Read up on Roth IRAs and adjust your withholdings so you don't get a refund, or file your taxes early so you don't get scammed.
You're listening to On the Money with Certified Financial Planner Steve Pomerantz. If you'd like information about guests, topics, or anything you hear on this program, call 866-MONEY01 or visit the show's website at onthemoneyradio.org.